Jonah might have died. I mean, they always, you know, you see movies like Pinocchio, and you imagine Jonah sitting there with a little fire kindled, maybe roasting a fish on the fire there and kind of making his way. And when you read how the weeds were wrapped about his head, and it's death. It sounds like death when Jonah spoke of his experience. It sounded like death or in and out of consciousness. If he survived, it was by a hair's breadth. He didn't have to. He could have died and been raised. Verse 41. But that's the sign he was giving. His resurrection would be a sign to them. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You know, at least hearken back to verse 6, which I did not comment. But I say to you that in this place is one greater than the temple. See, Jesus had authority over the Sabbath. He had authority to release his disciples from certain obligations. He was greater than Jonah and the prophet. He was a greater king. You get these different aspects of Christ's ministry. You know, the temple, the priesthood, the prophet Jonas, you know, the kingdom of God and the king Solomon being compared. He's greater than Solomon. He's greater than Jonah. Greater than the temple. Tear down this temple, he spoke of his body, and I will raise it up again in 3 days. The queen of the south would condemn them in that generation because she had faith to travel to see the wisdom of Solomon. And so also the men of Nineveh would judge that generation and condemn it. And they would have a right to, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And Jonah did no miracle. And a greater preaching and a greater miracle had come. Hey, Jonah came to them to say, what you're doing is wrong. And Jesus came saying, what you're doing is wrong. But they heard, the heathen heard Jonah, but his own people heard Christ not. Verse 43, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 of his spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also to this wicked generation. That's a parable. That is a parable. It's not given in the proper form, but it is a parable. It's not so much about how evil spirits work. Though you could say, you know, okay, he finds the house empty, meaning the Spirit of God hasn't entered into it. And once you put the Holy Ghost in there, the devils can't get back in. They find it occupied. Okay, but I'm going to look at this in the sense of the parable. He's talking about the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And he's using it as a parable. Again, the idea is he came through and did all these mighty works among them. Healed them of their sicknesses. Took away their diseases. Cast out the devils. But then the evil, when he's gone, they find the house of Israel empty. Swept, garnished, cleaned out. These evil spirits come back and they find the house empty. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. When Christ came, you know, Israel was in need of him. And when he left, he left them worse because they received him not. And that's manifest that after him comes Titus and destroyed Jerusalem and they were scattered to all the four winds of the earth. Christ came, preached the gospel, offered them the kingdom. They rejected it. And then in the end, when he left, they were worse off than when he came. Their place was taken away. Their temple was burned to the ground. The last is the worst. Even so it shall be to this wicked generation. That is what it was to the generation of Christ's day. This parable absolutely came to pass. And I hope I made that clear how you understand. I mean, you could take this in a literal sense of all evil spirits that, you know, when they go out and they come, you know, they become worse, I guess, you know, or like a man stops sinning, but then he goes back to sinning and he ends up worse a sinner. I mean, I've had those, I remember trying to quit smoking and I went back to smoking and I became a worse smoker than I ever was. But, this is a parable for the generation he was speaking to. And it also will be in the final generation to those who do not hear the preaching of God's witnesses when they come forth. Verse 46, while he had talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Christ did not value the blood ties of family higher than the spiritual ties in the family of God. If any man hate not father and mother, he said, or love them more than me, he also said, he is not worthy of me. And he walked by the same rule. He loved his disciples more than his family. They came and they said, oh, look, it's special people are here to talk to you. And he's like, I've got special people right here. Special people here. Here's my mother, my brethren. These are the important people. Those outside. He made little of them. And what? It says, cursed be he that setteth a light by his father and mother. That takes them lightly. But he wasn't taking them lightly. They were sitting in front of him. Because he was a grown man. And the carnal mother, his greatest good he could have done to her was to not treat them the same as they were treated when he was not in the ministry. When he would dote on his mother or whatever. You know, when he would come to their call. Oh, mother, brethren. You know, you're here. And he would run out to see them. So I'm just saying, like, you know, like, let's say if that was how he was with them. People have an expectation. I'm family. Your family's here. Oh, I'll go see them immediately. I will acknowledge them immediately. But he does not acknowledge them immediately. He does not go see them immediately. Instead, he acknowledges those who are nearby, those who hear his doctrine. They are his true family, is what he's saying. Hey, and how much more would those be if they would receive his doctrine? To be mother and mother, to be brother and brother, is very blessed. But he uses this as an opportunity to teach about what's really important. The kingdom of God, his righteousness, and our brethren in the Spirit of God.